It's not often find TV disturbing. Actually, there's quite a few disturbing things on TV, but it's not often that something you see troubles you and stays with you. A little while ago, in the medical drama ER, there was a scene which I found very disturbing. Let me sort of paint the picture. There was a man sitting in the bed, and he had advanced cancer. He didn't have long to live, but in the dialogue, it was obvious that he knew he wasn't right with God. This poor fellow, through the course of his job, he had inadvertently killed an innocent man, and that memory had plagued him for the rest of his life, and he was riddled with guilt. As the sort of scene was going through, you can see this man getting agitated. You see the fear in his eyes as he's scared of dying and speaking openly about this fear that he just wants to be right with God. He says, "Bring me someone I can talk to, someone that can put me right with God." Well, if you were there in the room, what would you say to this man? What would you share with this man who knew that his time was up and he was scared of the other side? What would you say? One of the reasons why this episode got to me is because I know how real this situation was, or how real it is. As a 17-year-old, I was sitting in emergency with a really close mate who just had a head clash during a soccer game. That afternoon, we sat in the ER for quite a while, and initially we thought he had just needed some stitches and he would be okay. But as the hours ticked by, he got more and more agitated and disorientated. And then the pressure from his fractured skull was building and he was rushed into surgery. That night was touch and go for him, but he pulled through that surgery. A few days later, he was up for a visit. So I went in to see him. We're sitting there in a room and I was his Christian friend. He looked me in the eye and said, "I nearly died. I'm not ready. I'm scared." I remember thinking to myself, what on earth do I say? I bumbled around for a while because I don't think I was clear in my head what is the Christian hope. What would you say if you were sitting there? Someone that desperate is crying out for some answers. Would you know what to say? Come with me to Jonah chapter 3. Let me read the first couple of verses. "The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you." You see there? What do you notice about these verses? Well, the first thing that we notice is that we're way back in the beginning again. These are the same words as we see in chapter 1. And the question on our lips is, what is Jonah going to do this time? In verse 3, we see that this time, Jonah is obedient. It's very tempting just to follow the story through, to rush over these verses. But if we do, we'll miss a very important point. We need to pause and reflect what is happening here. And what have we learnt in these first two chapters? Because God sent Jonah to the Ninevites the first time, and how did he respond? His head went down and he ran in the opposite direction. This time, Jonah is sent to Nineveh, and he obeys the word of the Lord. Well, what has changed in Jonah? Well, chapters 1 and 2... we've seen Jonah running away from the Lord. But these two chapters are equally about the Lord as the loving Father, who doesn't turn his back, but lovingly disciplines his son. See, in the story of Jonah 1 and 2, we learn this important truth, that God disciplines those whom he loves. I just need to be clear here. I'm not saying that if you are suffering right now, that's because you deserve it and God is punishing you in order to teach you a lesson. But I do want to say that God can use suffering, our trials, our hardships, our tough times, to knock us down a peg or two. And our loving Father allows us to suffer in order to refine our faith. We read that in 1 Peter. Let me give you a few examples. A Christian mate who was into his sport in a very big way suffered a fractured leg. It was very frustrating for him as he missed out on selection. Very frustrating, all those hours and weeks of rehab. But it was good for him. He was saying how frustrating that situation was, but he actually realised that he'd been living for his sport. That his sport was such a big deal for him because in that was his identity. In his sport, he could impress his friends. Or fairly recently, chatting to a Christian bloke who was sharing the pain about losing his older brother to cancer. The pain of someone close being slowly taken from his grip. I said to him, you know, it must be horribly tough for you. He said, you know what, it's taught me an important lesson. It's actually taught me what is important. It's not about the work, it's not about money, but the bottom line is people need the gospel. You know, seeing my brother suffer. For me, it's no longer about work or money or whatever, but my aim is that the gospel message goes forth. A good question to ask yourself as you stop and reflect on hard times is, how is God using this time to shape me to be more like his son, Jesus? Well, through hardship, the Lord humbled his servant Jonah and humbled him to serve. Follow with me from verse 3. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now, Nineveh was a very important city. A visit required 3 days. On the first day, Jonah started into the city. He proclaimed, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overturned. See, in our first week, looking at Jonah chapter 1, we saw that Jonah's mission is now our mission. Jonah was sent to the Gentiles. We too are sent to the nations. But we need to pause and notice here that his message, the content of what he said, is our message. His message is our message. And his message is, judgment is coming. And our message is the same. But it's actually worse. Our message is, judgment is coming, but not just to Nineveh, but to all. In that first Bible reading that we saw Paul standing up in the Areopagus and he's preaching, and what does he do? He warns them. He says, look at yourselves. You're making idols with your hands and then you bow down and worship them. You've been turning your back on God the Creator and you need to repent now. Why? Why does he say that? He says, for he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. And he has given proof of this to all men by raising him from the dead. If you're sitting here this evening, I need to ask you the question, and that is, have you heard the warning? Do you know that one day you will face judgment? one day soon, you'll be standing before God and have to give an account for your life, for the way that you've lived, for the way that you've acted, for the way that you've thought, the things that you have done, the things that you haven't done. And are you prepared for that moment? And if you are a Christian here this evening, this message of God's coming judgment is not only for you to hear, but it's also for you to pass on. See, as messengers like Jonah, our message is to warn and prepare people for the coming judgment. As you hear this, how does it make you feel? A little awkward, maybe? Well, sitting in that hospital room with a man who is scared to death, would you think of mentioning God's judgment? I'm not sure if we would. Why? Because so often the Christian message is diluted down to just a mere life choice, or choosing a church is, church these days is just a place to go or a place to help people back on their feet. As people say, would you like to become a Christian? It kind of sounds like, it's your choice. Or people say, when I became a Christian, I found that I had some purpose in my life. And I think it would work well for you. As they say that, there is no mention of judgment. Or some people say, come along to church, it's great. Become part of this loving community, a place where you can be accepted and welcomed. But there's no mention of God's judgment. Or I know you feel guilty and ashamed. But how about you come back to church and we'll help you get your life back on track. Again, no mention of judgment. Why? Well, it could be a number of reasons. It could be that we do not believe God's word. We do not believe that Jesus will return and judge. Maybe that's it. Or maybe it's that we've bought the lie and that God isn't going to come back and judge the world because people aren't that bad. They're not really turning their backs on God. They're not really sinful. It's more society that shaped them. It's not their fault. Or it might be, thirdly, that we're worried about what other people think. Therefore, in order to get them in, let's talk about all the positive stuff, but not the hard stuff. Let's just emphasise the fluffy stuff. God loves you and he wants you to live in harmony. But if we do that, friends, we distort the message. We can distort the message because of what we're fearful of, what they may think of us. They mightn't like what we're saying. But we're not to. We're to speak the truth. Let's have a look how the people responded to Jonah's raw message of judgment. Verses 4 and 5, just skim over them. What happens? The Ninevites, well, their response was instant. Verse 4, on the very first day, they believed God. It was an instant response. Their response was total. Verse 5, all of them, from greatest to least. And their response was genuine. See how they humbled themselves? There was fasting and sackcloth. See, what they did is very important. Who did they respond to? Who did they hear? Verse 5, the Ninevites believed God. See, it wasn't this bloke Jonah, he reckons this is going to happen. Or what do you think about what Jonah said? It wasn't about Jonah, it was about his message. And just a little word here, that the messenger's role is to hand it on. And our job is to pass on the word of God. If people reject it, it is the message they are rejecting. And resist the temptation to change or modify or distort this message, because we feel awkward. See how they responded to the message? Let me read verses 6 to 9. We're going to see how the king responds. As I read, listen to how the king responds as a model for us. This is how we should respond to the announcement of God's coming judgment. From verse 6, when the news reached the king of Nineveh, he arose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself in sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. Then he issued a proclamation in Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let any man or beast, herd or flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and violence. Who knows, God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. See here his response? Firstly, he hears and he acts. He's not sitting there worried about other people's reactions. I wonder what my family thinks. No, he hears the word of God and he acts. He steps down from his throne and takes off his royal robes. He was in control, but now he submits to God. He puts on sackcloth and sat in the dust. And you see his penitent heart and his humility. Then he issues a royal decree. Did you notice that? Verse 7 and 9, we see his concern for others. As he hears this news, it's not just a private thing, but oh my goodness, God is going to judge us. His concern for others overflows. And he tells them to call urgently upon God. You know, this isn't something you just put off now, but call urgently upon God. And he tells them to stop their evil and violent ways. See, turning to God is turning away from evil and violence. And this is the model of hearing and turning to God. See, he listens to the word of God and then turns to God in humility. And he pleads with his countrymen to do the same. And as we hear this message of judgment, that one day too we're going to have to stand and give an account to God, when we hear that for the very first time, we are to turn to him in humility. And we are to plead with our countrymen to do the same. But this model of repentance is not just for those who hear for the very first time. No, this model is the daily Christian life. As each day we need to turn back and respond to God. As each day we need to consciously turn to him in humility. And each day we need to plead with our countrymen to turn from evil and wicked ways and turn back to God. Lastly, the Ninevites turn to the living God. But have a look at what the king says in verse 9. He says, who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. Do you find that disturbing, what the king says? See, they've just heard this word of God and they know that judgment is coming. They turn to God, they cry out to him, but where is their hope? Their hope is that God might just hear. Was their repentance enough? Was it too little, too late? Who knows? Will we be okay? They don't know for sure. They have no assurance. They've heard about God's judgment, but they did not hear about God's promise of mercy to those who turn. See, the Ninevites here stand in stark contrast to the sinking Jonah of chapter 2. See, Jonah is sinking, yet he cries out to God with confidence that God will save him. And the great privilege of knowing the promises of God is that if we turn to Him, we have assurance that we are safe. And it's only through hearing these promises that our hearts can be at peace. See, at the beginning I spoke about how this ER episode disturbed me. What really got me was at the end of this episode, this man who was crying out, this man who just wanted answers, this man who just wanted that assurance that he is now right with God, he did not hear the promises of God. And I went away troubled, and it would have been an absolute tragedy for this man to die without hearing the wonderful promise of God. If this man was the only one, it would be a tragedy. But friends, we live in a city where people right now are scared stiff. They are scared of death, and they are not prepared to face judgment. They don't know the promise of mercy. As I close, I want to take you back to the hospital bed. And I want to share, if I had an opportunity again with my friend, I want to share what I wish I said. As I share this, I want you to listen in. Particularly if you are scared. If you know you're not prepared to face judgment. I want you to listen in and hear that God's word is one of judgment, but also one of wonderful mercy. Let me give it a go. This is what I wish I said. Simon, I know you're scared. But to be honest with you, I need to ask you, are you ready to face God? Are you ready to face the judge and give an account of your life? I need to warn you. I also need to share something with you. Remember each year at school when we learned what to do in a bushfire? Remember what they told us about the grass fires and if one is approaching? Remember what they said when you can't run away from this fire, where there is nowhere else to hide? Do you remember what they taught us? Well, they taught us that the last resort is to light a small fire and wait until that grass has burnt. And then go and stand on that burnt grass where the fire had already been. Well, Simon, it's kind of like that. I need to warn you that judgment is approaching, and you cannot run and you cannot hide. But the great news is there's a safe place. There's a place where the fire has already been. See, when Jesus died on the cross, his death took the punishment and wiped away the judgment that you deserve. He has been judged in your place if you trust in him and stand with him. Will you do that? Will you turn and stand with Jesus? And if you turn back to God and trust in Jesus, he gives you his word that you'll be okay, that you'll be safe, that he will be holding you close forever. Let me pray. Our gracious Father, Father, we do thank you so much for this message that judgment is coming. Father, this message is a confronting one, that one day every single one of us will be standing before you, giving an account of our life. But Father, thank you so much for your word, the Bible, that in that we see what Jesus has done for us on the cross. That there is one who is perfect, the one who has stood in our place and taken the punishment that we deserve. Father, thank you for this wonderful news that if we stand with Jesus, if we trust in him, we are forgiven and that we have that wonderful assurance that we'll be right with you. Father, we pray for those amongst us and those in our city who are fearful at this time, who are scared stiff, who are worried. Father, we pray that you will use us. Father, give us boldness to speak to our friends and family about the wonderful message of the gospel, so that they too can rest assured, knowing that they are safe because of what Jesus has done for them. Amen.